This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
This is Race Wars.
Race Wars.
I have the power.
Yeah. How's it feel?
With Kurt Metzger.
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
And Sherrod Small.
Settle down, bitch.
Race Wars.
Race Wars. Back in the building. Back to school edition. First of all, 9/11. So we got to show, you know, some respect for that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes. Yeah, I went. Today, I went to 7-Eleven.
Introduce yourself, Ryan. People don't know you.
Ryan Long in the place, straight from Toronto, fresh immigrant. You guys wouldn't get it.
Oh, we got to build that wall. We got to build that goddamn wall.
Ryan coming in hot.
Ryan's coming in real hot. And Rick, introduce yourself to the people.
Rick Younger, Pisces.
There we go.
Favorite foods, catfish and grits.
Fucking sick food.
I like a woman who loves everything and everybody.
There we go. Bravo.
All right.
He's loading down R&B right here. No, you 7-Eleven? What are you supposed to say about 7-Eleven?
I went to 7-Eleven. I'm in Canada. We didn't hear about it. We just heard something happen at 7-Eleven. It was a disaster.
There he goes. He's
undercooked hot dogs. It's from what I heard. The firemen weren't happy about it. Something like that.
It's 9-11, man. It's a sad time in America. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we got to reflect on what went down. Rick, where were you when all that happened?
I was actually in rehearsals for the national tour of Rent.
Really?
Yeah. And the funny thing about it, well, it wasn't funny, is that I was on my way to rehearsal when the planes went to I was on my way to rehearsal going across the BQE.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the first plane had already hit.
Right.
So, and at that point, we were like, somebody can't fly. And,
right.
You know, whatever. Everything's going on as normal.
As you do.
People can't fly jokes.
It's just a shitty pilot.
Right. So everybody's rolling. Everybody's doing their thing. And I did not know the show. So I had my script, and I'm reading with my head down.
Right. You were surprised to see so much about AIDS in it?
Right. I was like, so I had my head down going over my stuff, and all of a sudden I hear a collective gasp from everyone on the bus, like, because they actually saw the second plane go into the building. So I look up and I see the second plane, but I didn't see it actually hit.
Wow.
I'm like, you know, with all the PTSD that people have, and I'm kind of glad I was looking down at my script.
At your script.
I was going to say, you'll regret that for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Did you get the part? That's the most important part.
So the bus driver is like, all right, y'all, we're about to go into the battery tunnel? And he's like, all right, look, I'm about to go into this tunnel. Y'all let me know, do y'all want to turn back around or y'all want to keep going? And everybody's like, turn this bus around.
We
all went back to Brooklyn. Good. It was just like, you know, everything. It was like the quietest day.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's just quietly walking and just like looking at the buildings and like in awe. But I was here and... I saw that whole thing. And then,
Karen, you remember where you were?
Shit. Yeah, I mean, I was like in
middle
school.
You were grade school?
Yeah. I was a grown-ass man.
I was coloring in orange in art class. And they told us on the loudspeaker, and we were like, whatever.
Right.
And then we're like, I don't even care. I'm coloring this orange. And I think my parents just threw it away in updated orange news. And anyway, then the teachers all really gave a shit, obviously.
Yeah.
And they just stopped class and pulled out TVs and stuff and watched the news.
They're being all prima donna about it.
Everybody was watching the news and, you know.
Well, we didn't fucking know. We were like, oh, this is like super serious because the adults are all freaked out.
Yeah,
everything stopped. And then I went home. And it was like early AOL days, you know.
Yeah.
And I like, they were like publishing texts from people, and I was like, oh shit, like,
how do we get it published?
And then they had those immediately. Remember those pictures of like people holding hands and jumping?
Yeah,
that fucked me up forever.
I was in Europe when it happened. I was in Amsterdam doing shows with Greer.
Oh, right.
And my mother called and said, turn the TV on. Money, they showed everything on that TV in Europe.
Yeah.
They showed people coming out of the building, falling. It was brutal.
They don't censor like that.
I was in Brooklyn, and where I was staying, you could look out the window and see the towers.
Right.
So it's like the TV is on, and you're hearing stuff. And like, so when the towers went to fall down, the towers are about to fall, and I'm like looking right out the window, just watching it go down.
Wow. You know what Kurt has? Yeah. Kurt has this mythical picture that I've seen once. It's like a picture, like a Polaroid.
Yeah.
Kurt was on the like a rooftop with a girlfriend, like in Brooklyn, and
that's when you got the good view.
And well, he was facing her, and his back was to the tower, so you can see them in the distance, and you could see one of the planes flying into the. I guess it was the first one, obviously, because he would have seen it. Right. You can see it coming in the picture. Yeah. It's crazy. I've seen
Why
it once.
Why was Kurt on a roof at 9 a.m. on a fucking
from the night before? Dude, I was in my class, and my principal came over the loudspeaker, and she said, "It finally happened. U.S. finally got what they deserved. Praise the law." Yeah, that's a quote.
You're such a liar, Canadian.
You can't believe anything that this goddamn
you
Toronian.
You lying duck person.
She came on. She started doing the battle cry. And it was on, man. She said, "Oh, free ice cream for everyone."
How long you been in New York, Ryan? You just got here, right?
Wait, excuse me. You're just going to let him trample on our sacred day? Our holy sacred day, 9/11?
9/11 sick. Really solid day. I don't want to get involved. Sick day.
We knew Muslims right away. We did know that.
Yeah, you guys are pretty on it.
We knew right
away.
You
knew Muslims did it.
When
4 days before it happened, you knew Muslims did it.
My first instinct when two planes went in, I was like, I automatically, we are getting attacked.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I'm looking in the sky to see when are the rest of the planes coming. Because in all the movies, there's a couple of little ones first. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, everything just.
My card collection.
Boom, boom, boom. We got trapped. We couldn't even.
My board.
We couldn't even talk to anybody in America for like a week or two.
Yeah.
Like all the phone calls dead.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm from Baltimore, so, like, my family's trying to get in touch with me, and they couldn't get in touch with me.
Why not? I'm from Pennsylvania, and our big story.
Why were the phone lines down?
They killed everything. They turned everything off.
Why?
I don't know. So they don't want, like I said, they want the terrorists communicating with each other, so they cut off everything. Well, everything was turned off.
Also, people were just, like, freaking out, and everybody's calling each other. Like, they couldn't take
it. Oh, and it's crashed, that too. But I knew we couldn't call from Europe at all back to the States.
It's crabby.
In PA, we had those Pennsylvania 9/11 heroes. I don't know if you guys know about
what
our special 9/11.
Oh, you had a few guys that went in.
The plane went down. They hijacked it. They hijacked it from the hijackers.
Right.
And they were heroes, and they crashed into the ground or whatever. Yeah.
Because they knew. They already got the news from.
They averted Allah's will.
Yeah.
So, fucking PA heroes.
How long you been in America, Canadian?
30 days now.
30 days. All right. Dude.
You know, Wild America's first day I was here, literally on the subway, first day I was here, there's like a lady holding her kid, fighting her husband, punching the husband with her kid, and the dad goes, "Yo, put the baby down, put the baby down." Yo, you want to do this? Put the baby down.
That's every fighting parent's first directive. Yeah. Put that baby down so we can do this for real. I'm not going to hurt this baby. And you should be thinking more about the baby, too. You better not ever put that baby. You better hold that baby.
I got no problem beating the shit out of a girl.
Wait for you to go to sleep. Put that baby down.
I would have just used the baby as a weapon.
I'm a gentleman. You want to get smacked, put that baby down.
What made you come to New York?
I just moved here for entertainment shit, right? I got my green. Took me 2 years to get my green card.
There we go. Now we're talking about some real shit I want
to
hear about.
Yeah, dude. It took me 2 years to get my green card. It was a wild. It's extraordinary alien green card. That's
you know how long it's going to take a Mexican immigrant to get that same green card?
That's what you know how wild Americans are? Every person in my
get it. What happened?
No, it doesn't. I think it's the same green card. Like, I did the same process as, like, anywhere.
But how come yours went through so fast?
It wasn't fast. 2 years.
That's fast.
Oh, but no. But if you're in, like, if you're in Mexican and you do the extraordinary alien green card, you're not the same. That's not the same as just, like, the regular
What's
green
that
card.
Now?
Like, for entertainment or whatever.
Or
if you're, like,
in.
A scientist or whatever. Like, there's a lot of different categories.
So, they know you're here working. Is that the green card that you have?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can work with
it. It sounds like a group of superheroes.
You gotta prove. You gotta prove that you're, like, whatever.
The gang of extraordinary aliens.
Extraordinary.
You gotta prove.
Together to fight crime. Or to do crime. Whatever. They just do stuff together.
So you put down that your entertainment.
Dude, I did a 900-page package. It was wild.
That's
like,
crazy.
So I did do a 900-page package, and then because of Trump, it like got harder and stuff too. So they sent me another thing, and I had to do like another 400 or 500 pages.
Wow.
Of what? What's the
so there's 10 of? Categories, right? You got to prove like that you've made more money than everyone in your field. You got to prove that like you've made you were the part of like a huge like television show or publications, like multiple of that, like all that kind of shit.
So you have to like what?
And then you got to get a bunch of those categories. So for example, if you wanted to prove that you're in a publication. You got to get like, I was on like MTV and shit. You get a bunch of letters from MTV, then you get people that saying like Ryan had this big thing. You get the president of MTV, blah, blah, and you get 10 letters for that. Then you do that for 10 more things. And then massive package, dude.
Lord have mercy. So how long can you stay before we
permanent? Permanent. I'm immigrated.
So you immigrated here?
Yeah. So you're thinking of O-1s like a work
That's
visa?
What I was, yeah.
Like if you went to Europe and you worked and you got the work visa, I got a green card.
Okay.
So the real
like
shit.
Gerard Depardieu.
Yeah, it's good.
So
dude, I got the fucking good
is that
shit.
forever? Does that expire?
Well, then you become a citizen after.
It sounds like what just if you doing the process not? Makes you an extraordinary alien, even yeah. if you weren't extraordinary.
Dude, I didn't even do comedy before I started. By the end of it, I was like, all this faking, I do comedy for the government. I might as well just do it. All these lies I've been telling.
I didn't know you had to get all those fucking letters and...
Dude, it's fucking berserk how much you have to do.
So what if you're just a person trying to come to the
you
country?
You can't. You think you just walk over, well, unless you're Mexican, and then you just come.
Oh, I know so many Europeans, man. Yeah. I know so many Europeans, definitely in New York, who just overstayed over. They shit.
Yeah, but
and they still here, fucking getting by. Nobody double looking
that's
at
everybody.
Them, because they white.
Dude, yeah. I'll tell you what. Everyone said to me, they're like, oh, in America, like, the illegal immigrants, they can vote and stuff. And I'm like, listen, I couldn't do anything. Getting a bank account, a driver's license before I even had my, like, actual documentation was a nightmare. So right. I don't know how these fucking dreamers are voting and shit.
So you were here, when you came here before you got your green card?
No, but I got here. And then it's like, for example, I have my, like, half one. Then they send me my real one. So I don't have my SIN right. number yet. And my, like, you know, little, tiny little things.
Right.
Like, even when I had my green card, starting a bank was, like, a nightmare. So your people, like, they're like, Mexicans are coming across the border and starting franchises and stuff. And you're like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about all that stuff.
I mean, fair enough.
If the white man can do it, I got the Mexicans
I couldn't do it with
right?
my docs. I had my docs in order. I still couldn't do it.
So what's your family think? You a sellout for coming to America?
Yeah, they don't really give a shit. You know, that's a, you know
you have, like, did you grow up with siblings? Or?
Yeah. I always say that, like,
how many siblings?
Family doesn't matter as much for white people, you know?
I know, because, like, that is true.
Do you know what I mean?
Don't we, like, black folks, our cousins are like our friends.
Right.
Dude,
right.
Like,
sure.
It's like, white folks, do y'all even have cousins? Y'all don't ever talk about doing nothing with
your cousins. I met an adult cousin of mine as an adult, didn't know he was my cousin.
She dated him.
And we went on one date, but it was a fluke. It was we were set up.
They don't know their cousins, Rick. You're right.
And then later found out that we were cousins. Yeah, we don't know each other.
After she found out, she still wanted to date the nigga, though, because
I was
in
love with him. He was stunning.
I mean, he was that happens in black family too. But that's when you're young and you go to the little family thing. Oh, yeah, like, I hope that one ain't my cousin. We grow up tight with cousins.
I hope
one
a couple.
We don't
of
even be. We don't even do stuff like numbers. We like you a cousin, then you a cousin.
You're cousin
right.
right?
Yeah.
Could be your 14th cousin. Are you just holding the baby? You know, Uncle Darnell.
Y'all get down into what number cousin and how far removed.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Okay, he was my third cousin once removed. Gonna leave that right there.
Man. That's white nonsense talk.
It was
talk.
Fine right. with me. Dude, he how was many? Like, no.
At Jeremy the barbecue, where like, he's in. That's all he cares.
Listen, I was cool. You think I wasn't cool? I was totally cool with this cousin business.
Rick, you grew up in Baltimore, right? In Baltimore?
Yeah.
So what do you think about what Trump said about y'all being a dirty, fucking awful hole of...
You know what? I don't put a lot of weight into anything he says. You know, most of the stuff that he says is a lie.
Right.
And it's like
yeah, I'm like Baltimore right now.
It's like, yeah, okay, here's the thing. It's like he acts like he's not responsible for all of it.
Well, yeah, you know, he acts like part of the country is not.
If it's rats, then fix it.
Yes.
Yeah. And like, guess
it's
what?
It's like a landlord of a building complaining, talking about the second floor is a shithole. It's like, right. You own the building.
Right.
It's like, fix the second floor, dick.
And I live in New York now, and who has more rats than New York? Nobody.
No. You know? We got a handful. You know, right. We live
number
side
one,
to side by
rat capital. Goddamn right.
But do you think Trump's going to win again? Because I do.
I try not to think about it. I hope that
Trump wins
hope
again.
That we can get it up. Well, first of all, I don't think he really won the first time. But
he won enough.
Yeah, but, no, guys, I mean, we all won.
What I'm saying, let's won. First of all, let's Canadian. Talk about the Electoral College is some bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
That needs to be gotten rid of. But the other thing is that I don't trust this guy to have ever done anything honestly. So I don't even think that he got the votes he needed in the places that he won the Electoral College. I think he somehow was able to manipulate it so that it seemed as if he did.
Okay.
I would not put that past him.
Well, you think he committed fraud during the election? Like what?
Every day his life is a fraud. You know,
yeah,
it's
but
like
what
I don't.
Do you,
I mean,
what do you mean,
I don't have a well thought out conspiracy theory for
he
it.
Right. Okay.
I just know that he has historically. Yep. He claims to be a billionaire, and we don't see no receipts.
Said he had a huge dick.
Said he had a huge dick. I've never seen the dick. Where's the dick?
Most of the time, he got over with his businesses by shortchanging companies or not paying people after they did the work.
He's that like, sounds like a good businessman. He knows his shit.
You know,
really, really smart.
Queen shit.
And see, that is the reason why. Because people who are like, that sounds like a good businessman to me. Motherfucker, you ain't a good businessman neither. But you know, here it is. In a nutshell, is that Trump benefited from the backlash that occurs whenever white folks get upset about black folks achieving anything.
Right.
It's historic. After slavery, we had Reconstruction.
Yeah.
12 years ago, oh, wait a minute, that's too much. Then Jim Crow comes.
It's yeah, like,
every
it right
time
away.
We make a big advance, we need to get ready for right. the backlash.
I mean, yeah. that's why and I voted for
yeah.
him.
Yeah, so it's kind
of
like.
So you think Trump's the backlash of Obama?
Oh, yeah. Mm. It's like, mm. I mean, think about what you had to be a Barack Obama. Yeah. You know, that dude is like a fucking Boy Scout because you know they were looking for shit.
Oh, anything.
You know, if they could find anything. It, the biggest scandal they had on him because that he wore a tan suit.
Yeah, and that they disgraced the
biggest scandal
the
was that he knew how to wear a tan suit better than they could wear blue and black. So they got pissed off at him. And it's like, you know, so
yeah, because we elect Harry Belafonte, nigga. We elected Barack Obama.
Yeah,
it's like, no tan suit in the White House. It's disgraceful.
And I mean, okay, but on a serious note, as a black person,
Harry Belafonte,
you know, you know how it is to be black and to achieve things.
Yeah,
it takes more.
Yes,
and to think of what he had to do and what he had to be.
Yeah,
and it's like. This it really, really bothers me.
When no
Trump.
Bad stories
no
at
bad
all
stories.
About him.
It's like, you know, it's like, think about it. George Bush on one side and Trump on the other.
Dude, that's kind of how it always is.
C student
though.
Guy who benefited from family connections and Antichrist.
Come dude, on,
like,
now.
So it's like, but the Trump is so fucked up till he makes George Bush look like, yo, everybody's like, you know what?
George Bush looks sexy.
Oh, he was so bad. Oh, was so bad. He started a war that should not have happened.
He is beloved now.
Yeah, exactly.
He is our beloved grandpa.
Killed millions. He killed millions of people.
We adore him.
And
Trump ain't killed nobody.
And also before, we used to have that whole thing where we kind of were like, okay, we can have problems. We're like, okay, you're a Republican. I don't like you, whatever. Now it's like,
it
is so polarized.
Yeah, I agree.
People are revved up over here. Dude, as soon as I got here, everyone goes, why would you ever come to this country? Why would you ever? I always said
white people said that.
Black folks, we're just like, oh, so now y'all starting to see the stuff that we've been seeing.
You know what America reminds me of? It's like the rich guy and like the rich family. Like he's got a girl. It's like everyone wants to go to the mansion to swim. And they're like, why would you ever come to my house? My dad's the worst. He's the worst guy. Yeah, and everyone's like, no, like every house they want to be at your house. You're like, no, you don't. Our house sucks. Yeah, that's America.
Yeah, why? Because white folks are like, this isn't us. Black folks,
this is you.
This is always you.
This is the you we know.
You're better than this. No, you're not.
You're not.
You're not better than this.
This is exactly who you are.
It's like.
Yeah, it was dressed up nicely before, but you're like, no, it's been this.
Who can beat him, though? You think Kamala Lala Harris?
Only Bernie.
See, right now, it's too many
Elizabeth
horses.
Warren?
It's too many horses
no,
in the race for
not
me
a
to
chance.
Even
Yeah, but there's
say
no
who I'm
great
with.
Horses. Like, there's no good
Bernie.
Horses.
Bernie could take him.
Biden,
no, yeah,
Bukacek.
No, that's wishful Canadian thinking. That's magic wizard Canadian thinking.
Maybe more last time than this time, but Bernie could have taken down last time.
Bernie,
maybe
he could have
done it last time. Yeah, maybe
the DNC didn't set him up and fucking sabotage his whole shit because it was in the Clinton pockets. They wanted the Clinton in there last time. You know that.
Bernie
got fucking Mr. Magood.
Yeah.
Magood,
I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to go take some of my anxiety medicine.
I've
been trying. You know, because like.
That anxiety medicine real quick.
Huh?
Sounds good.
Oh. Yeah, see, that's the new thing. Part of being black is anxiety, and you don't realize you got it until you decide, hey, I'm getting a divorce. Why not go see a therapist?
Yeah.
And then you start saying, hey, you know, I got this feeling. I feel like I'm in trouble, but I'm an adult, so I don't really have anybody to be in trouble with.
Right.
And I'm just feeling like afraid. Sometimes I'm on the side of the stage, and I don't even want to go out there, but I know I got to because I got the costume on. There's nobody else going to go
costume
out.
On.
So,
that's right. You know he's on Mean Girls on Broadway.
Right.
No, I didn't. Like, I thought you were being really poetic.
I said, so what is that? She said, oh, that's anxiety.
You got diagnosed.
Right.
Black people don't get diagnosed.
And then once I found out.
You guys are
like,
appropriating
it
all our shit
even
right
worse.
Now.
It's kind of like when you have an injury, but you don't know it. Yeah. Like, you know, like a perfect example is this guy, the tight end for the Chargers. They just found out he's got some type of really bad injury in his knee. But he got hurt in the game, went out, came back in, scored a touchdown in overtime.
Right.
And then come to find out he's like But now it's like, you know that he has the injury, and it's like he can't walk now.
Because he was holding it in.
That's how it is with anxiety. It's like, now I see it constantly. Yeah. Some of it I just thought was the way I was supposed to feel.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of like,
you're suppressing it like a man is supposed to. Like, hold your tears in and beat your kids.
Like, Mark Theobald is got celiac disease.
Okay.
Like, he really can't.
He's got it all, don't he?
I use Mark because Mark was like, yeah, man, for years, I thought that's how you're supposed to feel after you eat.
Right.
You know?
Like, just, yeah.
That's how it is with me and anxiety.
That's like, crazy.
That's funny, how it was, dude.
How's the show going? You've been on a show now for how long?
I mean, since, we're in our second year.
Okay,
and,
nice.
And I've been a part of it since the Developmental Lab in March of 2017.
It's on Broadway.
Damn.
Broadway.
It's on Broadway.
Broadway,
baby.
You.
And your character's who?
Nerd.
Yeah, I originated the role of Mr. Duval.
Right.
The part that Tim Meadows played
in the movie. Yeah.
Sick.
Yes. Cool. And how many songs do you sing? You sing a song?
I don't have my own song. I sing in the chorus on a couple of songs.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why I got to be in another musical, because I'm like, everybody that knows me knows I can sing. They're like, I know, y'all, man. You probably up there tanning up every night. I am.
Yeah.
But I don't have my own song.
You don't have a solo.
So I got to get into a show where I got my own song.
Well, at least you can drink now.
You gotta worry about those pipes.
You gotta be careful.
Oh,
of that
like
stuff.
These kids are some talented motherfuckers on this planet.
Oh yeah, it's a very talented cast, man. It's like, and I'm the oldest guy in the show.
You old nigga.
That's why I got strong opinions about young people now. Like, I spend the whole
with
show
the disco
get
music
off my
and
porch.
Trump's making sense all of a sudden.
Skateboard.
But yeah, man, it's like
is it like kids there getting tutors and it's like younger?
No, they're not. These are adults playing.
Kids.
Playing.
Okay, okay.
You know, so it's like our right now. We just got a new Renee Rapp came in to replace Taylor Lautermann as the part of Regina George.
Okay.
So Renee is actually 19.
Oh.
But she's the youngest person in the cast now. We had another guy, Ben Cook, who is now in. He's in the West Side Story movie.
Okay.
But Ben has been doing stuff since he was a kid. He was like in Newsies and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
And Ben was 19 when we started, but now Ben would be 21.
That's always the mark of like a brutal play is young people playing old people.
Yo, it's like, yeah.
Because you know they couldn't get the
right,
real shit.
It's like kids couldn't
guy with
do
a beard.
This.
Like, I'm the dad today.
Maybe in a few years, because like Dear Evan Hansen now has an actual teenager playing the part. But it usually gets younger.
One of my
friends
is in that too, yeah.
Yeah.
But, he's doing well too. Fucking Broadway money.
But yeah, so we have some 30-year-old teenagers in the show.
Yeah.
But you know.
And then you like travel around with it?
No. There's a national tour that actually left town today, gonna open in Buffalo. So
So
there's another cast of us.
Who's playing you in that? Who's the you in that?
Guy named Lawrence Street is playing me.
Okay.
Fuck this guy.
How's he? We gonna break his leg.
No, it's good.
He better stay outside of New York when he do it.
This guy has three songs in his version.
Well, man, because I don't like the road.
You don't like the road.
I'm like, so I don't. I'm like, no, I don't want to go.
Yeah, especially for that.
I mean, everybody who's in theater wants to be on Broadway.
Exactly.
So it's like, I'm not going out when I'm here on Broadway.
Right.
Where I'm from, you want to be on the road. It's like, that's like the thing.
Yeah.
Well, you're a carny. So.
But also, I mean, the unique thing about our show is written by Tina Fey. And,
right.
Her husband, Jeff Richmond, is the music guy. Nell Benjamin is lyrics. Casey Nicola, who also directs Book of Mormon, Aladdin.
Wow.
Like, he had, like, at one point, he had five shows on Broadway, like, this
he
season.
Making that money. He's making that money, man.
So, like, and Lorne Michaels is our lead producer.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, really? I went to the audition because I hadn't done musical theater in years.
Right.
I hadn't, like, early 2000s.
What was the last thing that you did before?
Last musical
9/11
thing I did was,
the musical.
I did a summer stock production of Smokey Joe's Cafe. And I did that right after Rent.
Okay, and you had some solos in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And solos. And then
the title sound like he had a little solo song.
And in Rent, I was Seasons of Love, I had the male solo in Seasons of Love.
Okay, yeah.
I hadn't done musical theater in a while, but and I told my agent, I reached a point where I was like, look, I don't even want to do anything that's going to be out of town. I only want to do something that's eventually going to come to Broadway, which means that you don't get a lot of auditions that way, because everybody wants to do that. And who are you, guy?
They actually
never been to Broadway to make that. But I was doing pretty good with TV and film stuff.
Right.
And I was like, hey, this would be a great time to audition in front of Tina Fey. Maybe I'll get that Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt guest spot the next time I audition. Yeah, so that was my plan. I'm like, I'm going to go here
and see what sticks, right?
Yeah, and I got the part.
Crazy. And where did you audition? Like somewhere downtown?
Telsey and Company.
Okay.
And you know, Telsey has a lot of Broadway shows, TV shows, This Is Us.
Yeah.
What's the show on Showtime about the stand-up comedians?
That's My Mama?
No.
But I don't know titles and stuff.
But they cast that. They cast a lot of TV.
Oh, the NBC show. That's what you're talking about.
No, not the NBC show. It's on Showtime.
Crashing. Oh,
it's kind of like the Comedy Store.
Jim
Carrey is the producer on it.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But yeah, something up.
That's fantastic, Mr. Fred.
Yeah, but anyway, they cast a lot of TV, film stuff. So it's the whole process was like getting in front of people,
the people who make decisions,
About other things.
Mm-hmm. And it's even better when you nail that, you get the fucking role in front of them.
Yeah, it's like, and I only had one audition, which
really
also made me feel like. I didn't have to dance. I had to sing.
I did, but you didn't have
and,
to.
they're like, stop dancing. I was like, you don't tell me what to do. And they was like, oh, that guy's an authoritarian. He should be the principal. And so I had one audition, which made me feel like I was not going to be there long. I felt like we're just doing a lab.
Right.
And I'm just here so they can see how the part looks, and they're going to get somebody else for it.
Right.
And then after
low self-esteem about this stuff.
No, it's just a real... Okay, I'll give you... Dean Edwards was in the lab for Shrek the Musical.
Oh, okay.
That happened.
And Shrek the Musical, every step of the way, they had a different donkey.
Right.
So I'm like, I know that I could do this,
right,
but not do that. You
right.
know, and it, but have it's not even necessarily dependent upon your talent. It could be dependent upon... Hey, that guy's been a Broadway show before, and that guy hasn't.
Right.
Let's give it to him.
Right.
And, you know, so I was constantly feeling like, okay, this next step.
Crappy
gonna...
job being the rehearsal You're donkey. Right.
Yeah.
So who got to be the donkey? That's now I'm interested in who the fuck played the donkey on Broadway.
By the time they got to Broadway, it was Daniel Breaker, who actually is in Hamilton now.
Okay.
But Dean gets a lot of donkey work to this day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it sounds funny, but
have you ever watched a donkey porn? That's him every time. Like, that's a guy in a suit.
Because like Eddie Murphy that's doesn't come down to do right. donkey voiceovers.
Right.
Dean does like almost all of the donkey voiceovers. So if you see a commercial
donkey guy,
and donkey Shrek is a part of the Disney thing or whatever.
Eeyore?
Yeah. So
a lot of famous donkeys, yeah.
Yeah. It's like I know, it's like as comedians, we like to crack jokes about jobs that don't seem glamorous.
Well,
meanwhile, people making some good money.
I'm just saying, being an understudy for that guy, being like the third donkey. I wasn't quite the
donkey
guy.
Money? Shit.
Trust me, as a comedian, it is hard to be up there like 8 shows a week
making jokes.
Kind of like that. Yeah. It's like I have opportunities in the show where I am directly addressing
right
the audience,
right?
And I'm like,
you want to crack
sometimes the natural instinct is to get into your shit, man. And because I have a line in there where I'm hosting the talent show and I say something about you never have a reason to say the word suck. And it's a slight moment where a person can say suck if they want to.
Yeah.
And most times they don't.
But
every once in a while, somebody does.
Yeah.
And it's like, do I get them? Or do I keep going and keep my job?
Yeah.
The last time it happened.
I would have been fired.
The last time it happened, I stopped and I just got quiet and I looked at them like, and the whole crowd cracked up.
Okay, yeah, you can do a lot of
subtle. So
like,
slap the mic on his knee.
I had to learn how to
slap the mic on the knee and then walk backwards.
Yeah, also learning how to make this thing that you got to do every night the same way.
Yeah.
Fresh and different. You know,
make it organic. Yeah.
And I mean, the other part is people mess up all the time, so that always puts a little energy into this whole thing.
Right, people messing up their line?
Oh, I'm one of the people that messes up this line.
Yeah. It's like, nobody really would know unless only y'all would know, right?
We know.
Yeah.
And believe me, it's like, whoo. Everybody's like, whoo. And you see people breaking.
I've seen shows from the beginning. And when I usually go to see a Broadway stuff, I like to go to the beginning of the run, then the middle, and then the end if I can.
You go three times
in the same
show?
Because I just try to see, because it's different every time.
Yeah.
And I'm like this, that wasn't that other way.
A lot of Broadway.
Oh, that was a fuck up before.
Yeah, like one night, I'm There's a part in the gym where it's this big girl fight, and it's in the movie. It's also in our show.
So
big
hot.
Girl fight. So as the principal, I make everybody go to the gymnasium so I can, you know, basically, you know, fuss them out or whatever. Uh-huh. And so in my speech, I'm supposed to say this line, "I will keep you here all night."
Right.
And then Miss Norberry says, "You can only keep them here till 4. And I'm supposed to say, "I will keep you here till 4. One night I went straight to, "I will keep you here till 4. Which means now she has nowhere to go. And so she was like, and that was that. "Like I said, I will keep you here till 4. And everybody on the stage,
420,
like, just almost busted. And the whole rest of the scene was filled with people about to just fall out. It reached a point where the woman who plays Miss Norberry had to walk off stage. She was supposed to come over and stand beside me. She went off stage, got herself together, and came back out.
Yeah, that's a lot going on. Anything?
So you do it every night, every single night?
Oh,
so do you have time to do spots anymore?
Not a lot. I think the last time I saw you, I probably was coming from a show.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I get out, but every time I get out, I feel like I probably said something to somebody or look strange to people, because I have moments where, like, I remember I walked down McDougal one night and Marina stopped me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm talking to her and a couple other people, and I'm like, I'm having a hard time keeping, because I'm just so tired all mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like one guy, I think he said he met me before, and then I said I didn't meet him before. And I think he was like, "No, you have." And I was like, but I moved on with the conversation. So then later on, I'm like, "Man, that guy thinks I'm a dick." So it's like,
That's the musical theater life, man. You don't have to be nice to people anymore.
It's like
eight
shows a week, man.
You sound so rich.
I can't wait till my next vacation. I am not rich.
What days you got off then?
Monday. It's Monday is my day off. It's a good living.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's like you called my man a carny, but we are carny.
Yeah, we are a carny.
It's like, if you are a stand up
comic. No, he got carny blood.
If you do stand up comedy, no matter what you do,
mm-hmm.
no matter how much you hang with the crowd or whatever, there's still this common thing that we have about us that makes us that person who's like, first of all, we got to get on stage and do stand up.
Yeah.
No matter what. And the other thing is that we can't, doing the same thing all the time drives us crazy.
I love you busting into the fucking jokes in the act. Yeah, no, it's like after a song is in there, it's like But so relationships are weird. No, the fucking director's diving on the stage.
No, I don't give it up for the ladies. Ladies looking good. Ladies don't need us for shit, do they, fellas?
Fellas.
Hey.
Drop the curtain so fast.
No, but the ladies, we all here.
Do you get happy when you see black people in the audience?
Oh my goodness, do I ever.
Like that.
They're very easy to spot. It's called the Great White Way.
They brought in their own popcorn.
It's like, man, it's.
It's all, yeah, it's yeah, white. It's white. It's Broadway's white as
well,
fuck.
Well, the thing is that they also
spot them right
they
here,
market very white.
Yeah,
like,
they market white.
I'm in the show.
I agree.
And what are they? I've had friends come to the show and they're like surprised at how many black people and people of color.
How do they market
the
it white? They say there's black people in the
well,
show.
Well, like
on the stage in the show.
Yes. What I mean by they market white, like almost every bit of advertisement that you will see from us about every Broadway show. You will always see the white characters.
Mm.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, go down to my theater. Yeah. The big marquee.
For The Color Purple, they had the stagehand. He was white.
It's like, you know, it's like the face of the show has been the Three Plastics, mainly,
mm-hmm.
which are three white, or at least white.
Because they're marketing
girls
to fucking Asian tourists, man.
Right. And
what appearing with shade?
And like, because even when the plastics haven't been white, upon first glance, they look white.
Right.
And but like opportunities for promotion and marketing
mm-hmm.
usually goes to a small select group of people who are a part of the show.
Right.
And I understand there's certain characters who are the stars of the show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there's also, if you want to reach out and get more black people to come to the show, you say, "Hey, black people who are part of the show, why don't you go and do some press
for that?" Yes.
This?
Yeah, yeah.
And
why
don't you, you know, and
what if they cast
spread it around
black plastic? Like, why? Like, it's
well,
we actually have
understudies who are black. You know, we've had black, like last night? Last night we had Aaron, the love interest was black.
Okay.
We had a Black Damian last weekend.
Yes.
You know?
Finally.
We've had a Black Regina George.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like it happens, and it's like,
has the donkey ever been black?
Well, see, that's a different show.
That one guy.
Yeah, it's like you are still a donkey.
He's, yeah, he got stuck on.
No, it's like, no, you're.
Why must the black man be the donkey? No, but but yeah,
so donkey and mean girl.
But yeah, so it's just.
I'm more interested in this donkey career.
It's just one of those types of things where, like, in my neighborhood, Washington Heights.
Yeah.
I never see any advertisement
for any
Broadway show.
No.
But Ain't Too Proud, there's a couple of flyers on some windshields.
Ain't Too Proud.
It's like, that was the only marketing that they did, and it was flyers.
They got flyers.
They didn't do a billboard. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, man, these people only understand flyers.
I love that. The parking.
Say, man, want to see this Broadway show? We got this Broadway show. You like Temptations? Man, we got this song called Ain't Too Proud. Man, you should come on down. You should see it, man. Check it out, man. It's nice.
You're just passing somebody on the street. Broadway show.
They don't market it to us.
Cocaine,
right.
Broadway
now, come
show.
Come on, girl. You bring that girl, you get that pussy wet up. Right. Get that fucking white pussy wet.
But if they're already selling out, why do they? I would say because they'll make everything grow and make you fucking whole.
Well, it also gives your show legs if more people know about it.
Right.
You know.
But they but sometimes it's like high brow and they're like this. We don't have to reach out to you. You got to reach out to us.
Here's the thing.
Is there fucking groupies?
Not for Mr. Duvall because he's a grown ass man. Every once in a while, some parents look at me like it could go down.
All right.
I was hanging out afterwards.
If they could figure out how to ditch their kids, they could like, Mr. Duvall, if you just meet me over at the bar after I get this kid over to the hotel.
Duvall's getting in play though. Eh? Like,
you know, I like to feel sexy and sexual.
Okay.
You know, I wear my tight chocolate corduroys.
Y'all this signing up. Playbills at the end of the show.
Yeah, I don't do the stage door that much because I like to keep my self esteem intact.
Yeah. Looking for Mr.
I come outside, especially. I've been surprised. I used to be like, I couldn't understand how white folks couldn't figure out that Clark Kent was Superman until I started wearing glasses. I'm like this on the show. Right. I come out after the show with my glasses on, and I come outside, and every other person has come outside. You hear. I come outside, it's like, crickets, crickets, and I do like this. Oh, I take the glasses off, it's like, by three older women.
You guys want a signature? No, we only want signatures.
Yeah, and so, like,
songs.
I got tired of that, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like,
yeah, you don't want to take that hit every time.
If you stop me as I'm walking, I'll sign anything.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm not going to go to the stage door to see your disappointment that I'm not Regina George.
Just you walking through, no one wants
man,
to.
Man, let me tell you what. I go out the other door. I go out the other door to avoid the stage door.
Right.
I'm walking, but I got to go past the stage door to get to 8th Avenue to go up to catch the A train.
Right.
Like I said, black recognize black. So,
oh, really? They
so, yeah.
You?
Like, black folks will always be like,
hey, sir, can I
drive
that?
Yeah. So I'm walking down the street.
We get happy when you see you and say that.
Right.
Hey,
yeah. So it's like, I'm walking down the street, and these black parents see me like, hey, man. They come over there, like, we hugging, we dapping.
Right.
And they're like, their kids are in the line to sign something.
Right.
Because they're young. They don't give a damn. They're like, I don't care if this person is black or I want the person who's more my peer.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know? So they're like, hey, come on over here. Take a picture with that's the principal, and they're like, not moving.
Yeah,
come
okay.
on, come. He's, no, it's him. I'm like, I actually was like, I looked at that kid, and I did. You can't see this if you're listening, but I put my hands up, like, and I did. I just like and walked off.
Like when someone goes. Like,
first of all,
no part of you,
as a parent, I was pissed off because I'm like,
that's
don't
rude.
You ever embarrass your parents like that. You better go over there and hug that man, take a picture.
Yeah, it's like, you know? Not worth it.
And I'm like, I didn't even ask for it.
Yeah, you didn't even.
I'm minding
that's the
my
worst.
Business. Don't pull me into this.
It's like when people see you with sheep like this. Don't you recognize him?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like money.
My friend wants to meet you so bad.
Like,
you
I don't know.
Like,
what? Yeah, I don't see, know.
And like,
I guess.
And see, that's the thing. It's like, I've done enough stuff to be kind of recognizable, but never recognized enough. I'm that guy that people will see me and be like, did we go to high school? I'm like, no,
yeah,
we didn't.
Yeah,
we didn't.
That, yeah.
And it's like, no, you look familiar. And then you're like, should I say something? Well, you might have seen me on. That ain't it.
I don't watch that. You know, it's like then fuck you then. Right. Fuck off, you fucking dick.
Yeah, you gotta bring.
What a worse. Like, the fucking worst.
I actually had somebody recognize me on the train recently, not because of anything like that, but because I go in my kitchen and do breakfast. And I broadcast on Periscope.
Oh right.
And I didn't. So guy comes up, he's walking through the train, he's like. It's you. It felt like that scene from Coming to America. Like he saw the Princess Zamunda. And I was like, looking at him, I shook his hand, and he's like, no, I know. He said, breakfast. And he's like, start singing songs. And
the breakfast song.
I was like, can I sit with you? And we rolled uptown.
Okay.
And I'm like, that is how, it's like.
So how do you do it?
Social media is more powerful than TV now.
It's up there. It's fucking up there. Ryan, what do you do? You tape stuff on YouTube or something? You got something huge going on. Tell me your white stuff that you're doing.
I got some TV shows in Canada.
What shows?
Because he's an extraordinary alien.
Yeah, I got
and you like shoot your own
alien.
Stuff? You shoot your own stuff on YouTube and shit, right?
No, not YouTube, but
YouTube.
Like I have a digital series at CBC, which is our national broadcaster.
Right.
Our socialized broadcaster.
What's the name of it?
Trontopia. But Toronto shit.
Yeah.
You know what's fun? I talk a lot about like the Toronto shit because we have this thing that's like kind of these like hipster gangster bartenders that I remember I would be pitching it to like this American thing and everyone's like, we don't get that because it's a Toronto thing.
Right. What do you mean hipster gangster bartender?
One of the things. Do they look exactly like you?
Yeah. That kind of. It's like a new thing.
Skinny, so a bunch gangly of Jeff Leach.
You know what the most noticed?
Jinx, like father, like son.
You know what the biggest difference I noticed here is you have way more like hipster black dudes. Like we don't have that. Those are the two biggest differences. One, we don't have like Latino thugs. We don't have like Latinos at all.
Okay. Really? That's
but we
our
have
main
brown thugs. But we have like
Indian.
Dude, we have
those
like,
are our prize thugs.
I know. That's like we don't have none of
they're
that.
They're our
stuff.
Best.
When I first got here, I was in like Bushwick, and there's all that, and I was like, oh, we don't have any of that stuff. I've never seen these guys.
But you have like
what
Indian.
Upside down,
you don't
want to
fuck with Tamil dudes. Oh yeah.
So what do y'all? Okay, first of all, you do have black guys, but they just
one same as here. Everything
just one kind of black guys.
So
or
Toronto,
just
same
all
as this.
But hipster black guys.
Right.
No. Same as this, but we just have more. You have more hipster black guys.
Right.
Okay.
Which is what one of the things my friend was saying is like, it's almost like girl black. You remember how fucking like wigger white dudes almost got like white girls into black guys. They were the training wheels.
Oh, yeah,
it's almost like these hipster black girls. Hipster black guys are like selling me. So girl, I find black girls here look at me more like, okay, because there's a lot of like tattooed black dudes skateboarding and shit. And whereas normally a black girl would look at me like, this is way too much for me.
Right.
I don't want nothing to do with this. But because there's all these like kind of skateboardy black dudes.
It's giving like a rose
like,
to you.
Yeah,
to
I can
your
try
nonsense.
It. Yeah. they're like opening doors for guys like me the same way that like Eminem dudes where they're like, they date that guy for 5 years and they're like, okay, well, why not I just date actual black
guys? So is that like the, is that the hipster bartender?
No. So the difference is, because you're in America, in Toronto, and even in New York, your areas are like a little more segregated, right?
Okay, yeah.
We don't have, it's not like that in Canada, right?
Right.
So our black guys all grew up with white people, and our white people all grew up with black people.
Right.
So they're like influenced a little more with each other.
Okay.
So it's like all our like skateboard dudes.
We have a lot of that too, but
in
some parts
it's
not like that.
Of course. But it's just there's a certain like breed of what like Drake is and stuff. Y'all, like all that kind of shit.
Now your black folks, are your black folks mainly runaway slave descendants?
No, they're not. That's
or,
West
or are they
West
or
Indian.
Are they
so
they
all my boys
from West Indian.
All my boys that I grew up with, like their parents were like from Jamaica or their grandparents were from Jamaica or like or the West Indies or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there's some
like even
some
most
Africa,
of the black dudes in the NHL.
Slave.
Are via fucking
dude, the best is
the West Indies
and they have
not
like the
America
right,
they all from West Indies but it's just like soccer on ice
and they still got the fucking accent like you're a fucking beaut bud you want to get in fucking done drop the gloves there the black guys with the fucking hockey accent
you're
phenomenal.
Beaut bud
buddy you want to just fucking look it up I'm top scorer in the fucking league eh that's the best the black white trash talk
Oh, Canada is just a mess
it's kind of similar but that's the thing our fucking like Tamil dudes they're like you don't want fuck with these dudes.
Now, I speak Tamil. People don't know that about me, but I grew
Tamil?
Up in Sri
what's
Lanka.
Tamil?
Really?
Well, you know, I got different things that go on.
Warrior class of brown dude.
It's a Tamil?
Tamil is brown people. It's like Sri Lankans and Indians.
They're Sri Lankans and Indians named Tamils.
No,
and they're...
no, that's
no,
not
that's the
language.
Yeah, all
language
of their names are Tamil. That's all their first name.
Wild. What is up with Canada? What are you guys doing?
Oh, you gotta,
I gotta get ready.
Okay, well, make do some plugs before you.
All right. You can. I'm Rick Younger.
That's Rick out of Bouncy Bounce.
You can find me at Rick Younger on Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, Snapchat, YouTube.com/Rick Younger, YouTube.com/The Rick Younger Show, CafePress.com/Rick Younger Show for wonderful Rick Younger Show memorabilia.
There you go.
Facebook.com/Rick Younger page. Go like that. Or Google me. I'm the first 6 to 12 pages of Rick Younger on Google.
First 6 to 12.
Yeah. It's like you're going to be hard-pressed to find another Rick Younger.
Really?
When you Google. You're going to be many pages in before you find out about Rick Younger, who's a basketball coach, and Rick Younger, who's a captain
that guy's
of a ship.
Living in your shadow, yeah. Right?
It's like, mad, man, Rick Youngers.
I know.
Well, thanks for coming on, Ricky.
Hey, thanks for having
me,
man.
Yes, sir.
I mean, hopefully I can get back sooner than...
Yes!
It's been like, what, 5-7 years since the last time?
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, and I know this because of Facebook, that's all.
Yeah,
you know,
that's crazy.
On this day.
Mm-hmm. Yes!
But, you know, people live life. We live life.
We out here working, trying to make the most of it.
So, yeah, every once in a while I got to go down McDougal Street to catch up with my people.
Yeah.
And so, that good thing, I did that the other night.
And you got the shows tonight?
I got a show tonight, 7 o'clock, so I got to get to the theater by 6:30.
Oh, kick ass.
Gotta get out of here.
That's every night, man.
Hey, go boogie and do your thing, man.
Those day shows. Look at Ricky. Right? The Sunday.
Hey, young Rick.
All right.
Thanks for coming on, bro. Let's get back to this Torontopia thing. Now, so what's the Torontopia show about? What is it? What do you do? What is it?
Yeah, I had a couple TV shows.
Was it all shot in Toronto?
So there's a website called thehardtimes.net, right?
Right.
That I do all the videos for, and I kind of got involved with. It's like The Onion, but for like punk rock shit. They're out of San Francisco. So big, like they're kind of blown up. They just like got partially bought up by Consequence of Sound. Like lots of cool shit, right?
Okay.
So I've done all the videos for that. But because of that, it was kind of like all this sketch comedy about punk shit and like music and bands and stuff. And then I did a version of that about like Toronto culture. Like these like bartenders that kind of think they're celebrities. That's what I brought up.
Oh, okay. So it's like, are they like celebrities?
But a lot of it would connect here too. But you know, for example, like our thugs talk, there's like, I don't know if you know how the thugs talk like from Scarborough, like yo dog, like honestly, like how Drake talks a little bit.
Yeah.
Like one of the sketches was like a doctor that's from Scarborough. Like, so it's like, you know, kind of Toronto shit like that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So we did a lot of like, we used to have these, did you guys ever have this? But like, we're fucking kind of like Italian dudes would show off their fucking cars in parking lots.
Yeah.
So
we have black dudes doing Italian dudes.
A lot of it's all like,
what is like every Sunday thing? That type of thing?
So we had that, like this one Wendy's, Tim Hortons, like plaza where just fucking, just 75 dudes come and show off their stupid ass cars with Honda Civics and their new seatbelt covers and dumbass footprint gas pedals. So one of them is like the boys like that.
And did you grow up in Toronto?
I grew up in Ajax, which is just love suburbs right outside.
Ajax, Canada.
How confusing.
Ajax Pickering? Yeah, I know who went to my school.
And you went to Ajax High School?
No, I went to Pickering High School.
Pickering High School.
Which is in Ajax.
Jesus Christ.
I swear to God, that's actually true, dude.
Now, was that the name of the Indians that y'all murdered up there, Ajax, before they...
We don't speak of those.
Next time. Natives, I should say. No, you roasted him, yeah.
Yeah, the natives.
We actually give our natives money, them. Like mad money.
You also
man.
Murdered them. You also murdered the shit out of them. come on. We don't have the, you know, the market corner on killing natives.
Yeah.
Canada went through them, nigga, like Grant through Richmond.
Yeah, that's a complicated one, man. That's one of our main issues. You don't.
And do you have casinos, anything? What y'all do for them?
Yeah.
I think we gave them each, like, we give them a lot of land and the taps don't work, essentially.
You mean you give them a lot of land back? Because it's their land.
No, it's our land. And fair and square. That's a deal. I don't know if you know anything about history, Sherrod, but fair and square deal.
What do you mean the taps don't work?
No, because that's one of the big things. It's one of those issues where there isn't really a good solution. And the
what's the taps well, don't what work, though? What's that
okay,
mean?
So basically, all these reserves... The fuck they don't. It's like Detroit, where it doesn't have clean water, right?
Right.
So they basically, but they're in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
And then on top of that, they have all these like laws where you can't drill on their land. So it's kind of this like big political thing where they're like, we don't have clean water, but then the one side's kind of like, all right, well, let's try to fix that, and then the other side's kind of like, well, you're not allowed to just go drill on their land, and then so
you can't fix the water problem without drilling on the land. They won't let them drill on the land for fresh water.
Well, you need to fix the wells and stuff. Like it's there's all these. There's like just all this bureaucracy surrounding the whole thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It sounds like some nonsense.
I mean, it's exactly what we did. It's exactly what we did. We gave them big chunks of land that nobody else wanted. Like, nobody wanted.
And then they're in the middle of nowhere, too, right? So they're like, how do we solve this? And you're like, well, first of all, it's there's like 500 people and it's in the middle of nowhere. So to build these kind of extravagant well systems are like, it's way harder out there too.
Right.
So it's just these solutions.
It's a specific well problem. I wasn't understanding that. I thought it was like a general
I don't know if the well's the right word. I'm
talking
shit.
Shit's not working.
You mean like the water's not?
Dude, I'm talking shit. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
It's a national well crisis. I'm sorry. Is your big issue a well crisis in Canada?
Dude, I think.
I'm just trying to clarify on 9/11 what Canada's biggest issue is to date.
I'm pretty sure. What happens our prime minister carries buckets of water to each reserve and he gives them their allotted glass. But his trail has been dusty, so he doesn't want to do it.
Well, he's
get his
in
fancy
some shit.
Shoes.
Isn't he in shit? Didn't he fuck up?
He's always
and everybody.
Oh yeah,
mad?
He's he did something.
He's kind of like a people pleaser, right? So it's kind of like
he's so
the take the temp. Yeah, yeah. Like girls love him.
Tell my son what's
up. Yeah, but he's a goddamn.
When you go back to Canada,
his hands girls are dirty. He got dirty. He got dirt in his hands.
What kind of hands do you think?
He got
girls
blood
like?
Money. It's blood money.
Yeah, girls love that shit. We love a dirty hand.
Yeah, they love.
He's one of those politicians.
Clean hands the fuck out of here.
Yeah, yeah. His polls are going down. But Trudeau was the dude for a while. He's on. He was doing the press tour showing his abs and shit.
He was white Barack Obama for a while.
Oh yeah.
And then his shine.
Conspiracy
dulled.
Because it's all.
He's doing ridiculous shit, right?
I don't know. What is he doing?
No, he's just the problem is you pander to everyone, and then all of a sudden you pander to all these groups that like disagree with each other, and you're just now you've contradicted yourself 10 times, right?
Yeah. Like you, so his word means nothing anymore.
No, he just fucking went, dude. He was on the apology tour, so he would just go to different groups and apologize to them.
Oh, I hate apologies.
Oh yeah,
that's
dude.
Why Trump shines.
That is
Trump
the most Canadian thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's
a sorry tour. I'm on tour.
That was his
I'm
entire
so
campaign.
An apology tour. That might be the title.
That's what he would do. He would go and like, so they'd be like, oh, the natives. Then he'd go like wear a native headdress and show.
No,
so sorry. Yeah, it was so
he
sorry.
He said he was sorry in a headdress?
Yeah, he'd just go to different, and then he would like, they'd be like, okay, well, then you need to talk to this group. And he'd go and like to the Italians wearing like a wife beater with mustard on it. And be like, really sorry, Italians.
He's a chameleon. I find him very attractive.
He don't give a shit, dude.
Yeah,
he's hot as shit. Dude, he's so fucking hot. I'd suck his cock so quick.
All right.
Okay, there we go.
Ryan
Canada
coming
is
in
a little
hot.
Different.
Ryan's still hot.
Coming in hot.
Ryan did not slow down for an hour.
Like, I mean, just if he fucked a hot girl, just to get the pussy off the dick.
This sounds like a Toronto thing. Maybe
wow,
he's
Ryan
one of those...
has planned a whole tag team in his head where I start with Justin Trudeau and then he hits it when I'm done.
I mean, you're like, oh, we could smash two. I'm like, no, I'm pretty good. I already got
out there. Like, that was a solid plan.
That's his thing. So you want to do some pluggy plugs? Plug some shit that you want to plug for yourself?
Yeah, man.
You
add me on Instagram at Ryan Long Comedy. Check out my YouTube /fatbredrins, phatbredrins, B-R-E-D-R-E-N-S.
There you go. They got a white man taking out stuff again. Now they say brethren now.
RyanLongComedy.com. I've got a podcast called Fuckonomics. Oh, I should tell you this. My two boys are both moving down here, actually. Not that you would care. I don't know why I should tell you.
I mean, why are you Canadians invading our country
so
like
there's
this?
There's three of us. My boys are coming down. We have a podcast called Fuckonomics, which is...
Fuckonomics?
Yeah, F-C-K-onomics.
Okay.
It's like dudes
Fuckonomics.
With economics degrees doing fucking whatever.
Okay.
They're both two Jews. They're moving down here.
Okay.
More Jews down here? I mean...
Stop. We need more. We need more. Stop.
I'm
he's
here
stopping,
with
he's
it.
Up, refreshing our
more
supply
chosen.
Of Jews. Appreciate
oh,
it. Are you
mercy.
Jewish?
No, hell
oh,
no,
too bad.
Gross. Ugh.
Well, yeah, nobody's perfect.
Nobody's
I mean,
perfect.
He's fine, I guess, with the podcast, but then he can leave.
I wish. My whole crew is right now, though. I'm just like, I don't want to say my crew's infested, maybe isn't the right word. Right.
On 9/11, how dare you?
On 9/11,
how
when
dare
your
you
people...
use correct terminology on this day?
On 9/11, when your people did it.
K-Ron, you want to pluggy-plug some pluggy-downs?
Yeah, you can get me on Twitty, Karen Kardashian, K-E-R-E-N, and you get it. And then on Insta, Karen Margolis. Someone said I should spell my last name, but I feel like it's just like so self-explanatory. And yeah, sometimes I co-host Citywide at the Stand with Abby Rosenquist Thursdays at 7.
Yes, that's great.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. This is fucking sick.
Yeah, so make sure you go to...
Are you plugging Dad?
Yes, ComedySolo.com. I'm doing an hour this Saturday. So go to ComedySolo.com, get your tickets. They'll come see me do a filthy, dirty, filthy hour.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I'm going to do it this Saturday, next Saturday. And then we got Hell Night is back, baby. Hell Night's back October 29th at the Village Underground Comedy Cellar. It's a near-death experience. So you're going to have everybody on there. Hopefully we'll have Artie Lang back on this year. Mm-hmm. We got Michelle Wolf. Everybody's talking about near-death experiences. And that's October 29th, 8 p.m. Comedy Cellar. Keep the tickets, ComedyCellar.com. Go to SmallWorldComedy.com. What a show. Mm-hmm. I mean, just making it happen.
Fine show.
Big shout out to everybody in Vegas, too, man. Good times. Good abortions. Peace.